Hi, you guys. Welcome to Only the Guilty Gets Offended. This is Kwa. I'm here, and we have Ricky here as well. Today, hey, we're going to say hi, Ricky.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, you guys, today we're going to be working on our third episode. Today's episode is going to be about trust. And trust can mean so many different things. So, we're just going to just dive in and, you know, talk about trust and what it means to us and some difficulties we may have had with trusting others and ourselves. So, Ricky, you, as soon as I said trust, you completely, yeah. Why that reaction? What has been your relationship with trust?
Well, the reason why you got the reaction initially is because it's kind of off something that we had discussed. I don't know if we talked about it on the last podcast or just we're having a personal conversation, but you know, I'm having not an issue, but I'm having a little bit of dilemma with how I should proceed with the situation. You know, remember I was telling you about the incident over the phone, and you know, I haven't spoken to him since then. I mean, like, you know, not verbally, and I'm still trying to figure out, you know, if I should reach out, and like my gut is telling me.
So you still haven't reached out?
No.
Huh? You still haven't reached out, and it's been like 2 weeks?
Yeah, I haven't said anything.
Oh.
Okay,
so hold on. We're going to recap, you guys. We're not going to go too much into too much detail, but okay, there was a little bit, and it's fitting because this literally happened right after our communication episode. So Ricky had a little miscommunication situation going on, and the phone call really didn't end on a good note. And now 2 weeks later, Ricky nor the other party has reached out to try to find any type of solution or resolution. Right, Ricky?
Right.
And so, why is that, though?
Well, so, on my end, it's because I don't feel like I did anything wrong, you know? Well, I don't know. It's a lot of different things. I think a part of me is being stubborn. But only because, like, my normal reaction would have been to, oh, okay, I need to call, I need to get off my chest, I need to talk, I need to do, you know what I'm trying to say? And, like, I want to, like, not be in that pattern.
Right.
Because, like, that's not fair because, like, it reminded me of a previous situation from years ago. It's like, you know, I'm breaking my neck, or not even that, but I'm just, in my way, you know,
going above and beyond.
And putting forward, you know,
trying to explain, you know, and reassure and do all of that stuff.
Yeah, and you know what I'm trying to say? And not even that it's not being reciprocated. It's not that, but for you to just make those kind of comments, and it's like, you know, I'm putting my time in, and I'm putting, it was just, I didn't like that. For you to, like, not realize that.
So basically, you know, you've been doing everything to try to show that, you know, you're on board and you are, you know, like, you know, present or feeling it or whatever, but yet the trust is still questioned. What your motive is? Are you dealing with other people? Like,
well, the fact of the matter is like, it's not even, you know, trusting him about, because I don't really think that he's dealing with other people or anything like that. Like, for me, is like, I'm not, first of, like, it made me question why I was attracted to this encounter to begin with.
Right.
You know, like, isn't it, like, you know, he was making me feel good. Like, but not, like, just physically, but just, like, you know, when we were having conversations.
The vibe is right, and you yeah, was building.
Yeah. So, but now it's, like, in this time and space, it's, like, I found myself saying, like, you know, I go back and forth between, I miss him, and I miss that feeling. You know what I'm trying to say? So now I can't differentiate. So then now it also, like, goes as, like, okay, so am I, like, not talking to him because I'm afraid of how he's going to respond? Or am I taking an active step in you know, loving myself and respecting myself and not tolerating things. But then also it's like, well, then why didn't you say anything if this is a relationship that is important to you? Well,
right.
Part of it is because I do want to see how he was gonna respond, because it's not like I said something, I was off the wall and I did something and now I need to go back in, you know. But then the other thing is he may not even know that I'm upset about this because I didn't say anything. But the fact of the matter is like I'm in town and I'm off and we haven't spoken. This is not normal. And for you to be so observant, or so you say, and so you've shown, and for you to notice that this is not strange behavior for me, and for to not say anything, that also says something too. And after the last thing you said was, I'll talk to you later. Like, and maybe I'm being petty about the words, but it's like, what I look like. You said that was some off the wall shit to me. Excuse me. And now I'm supposed to reach out and say, oh, let's talk about it.
Okay, so, all right. I feel like that kind of, it depends on really what you're trying to get out of whatever it is that you guys are doing. Do you that ultimately can determine how you want to go about it, or you can look at it as a way for growth and do something different than what you've done, because honestly, growth is uncomfortable. So like, maybe this could be, I understand what you're saying, like you go back and forth a lot of that. I have an issue with that as well. Like when you're in a relationship and sometimes, you know, you have to compromise and be the bigger person and you have to be forgiving. But there's a line that, you know, because of the fact that you are aware of, you have to love yourself and, you know, stand your ground and put yourself first and all of that kind of stuff. But I just believe that when you are trying to build the foundation and build trust, like you have to be vulnerable. And that's just what it is. Like, you can't really be trying to build trust with someone if you have one foot in and one foot out. Because it doesn't show that you're really committed, I feel like. And it also shows that your feelings are only dependent upon me. And that's where I feel like relationships screw up, because everything is dependent upon what the other person is going to do. Whether we just operate and do what we want to do. And I feel like a lot of that is because we don't trust ourselves.
Right. And I think that's exactly, that's what I'm, and I was thinking, it's so funny because I was thinking about, you know, we have to do this podcast. And I was thinking about, like, what trips me out sometimes is because, like, I end up, even, like, small situations, not even like this, but even, like, situations like, okay, I agreed to go to this function and I really didn't want to go, but
right. And so okay, your body has a memory, and I probably said this before, and it remembers trauma. It stores trauma, and it stores like bad experiences. So when we get in situations or experiences that replicate those same type of feelings and bring up that familiar type of thing, we automatically go into survival mode. And so when you're operating in survival mode, you're operating from a place out of kind of fear. And it's not your true self, you know? So I feel like that with the trust, how you reverse that is you rewire the brain. When those experiences come up again, you have to do something differently. You have to make the body basically recreate a whole new experience so it can get a different result. That's how you are able to change that brain aspect and with your body as far as the memory. And once you and that starts in the mind, clearly it's your brain. And once your actions start to continue to follow it, you won't be so stuck, like you said, in that pattern. That's how you break the pattern. You literally have to get into the same experience and do something different. Then you're going to give the body a whole different experience. So once you do that with yourself moving forward, you'll get more confident and comfortable and learn to trust yourself more, because you'll see that when you do listen to yourself, you don't get harmed. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. But I wonder, like, have I, Have I already
overextended yourself? I don't think you no, have you ever missed the opportunity? I don't think you could ever miss an opportunity. I think that opportunities are for taking, and you can't wait for opportunities to come to you. I think you got to go take them. I don't think anyone is going to say, here, take this opportunity, unless, you know, unless that happens. But you have to go take opportunities. And I just, with relationships, you have to, I just feel like that you can't expect something that you aren't willing to do. Relationships are about serving. Like, that's just what it is. Like, they're about serving. So you got to get right within yourself before you could even try to get in a relationship, because you see how we not right within ourselves and trust in ourselves, then we go and jump in and everything is dependent upon the other person, when really it's you in this relationship, and you basically function and dictate your behaviors based upon your experience. So you're bringing that into the relationship. He's bringing his stuff into the relationship. And now y'all just forming a trauma bond because y'all both operating out of y'all trauma stuff. So you're not even really operating from a real place, because y'all both are still caught up in y'all own stuff separately that had nothing to do. Because look at what you even said. I'm being stubborn because in the past, this is what I've done. That don't have anything to do with him, what you've done in the past. And that you may have overextended yourself a little bit too much. But now you coming to me and you got to give me a little bit and hold back on me, because that's what you did in the past. No. Open your eyes to red flags. Listen to yourself. Because even the fact that you are questioning if you should even trust is a red flag. You know?
Yeah.
So you gotta kinda... We are smart. We know. And we don't listen. This is why I say we always have to go back to self. Because we be feeling and we be knowing. But we choose not to listen.
Yeah, and I think that's what I'm, and that's another thing that I'm experiencing. Like, for example, there's a part of me that is telling me that I should not continue to engage in that way. Like, but also
engage in that way, meaning with him, or basically the way, like, your pattern?
No, with him.
Okay. Meaning, like you don't even know if it's worth it to even, like, continue on.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to him in like 2 weeks.
Right, and that goes to show, you know, y'all both is sitting back waiting on the other to reach out to each other.
But the flip side, but he might not be doing that, but the flip side...
We will never know.
Flip side is that, right.
Until we communicate y'all assumptions.
You're right. Probably I could
just, but this is what I'm saying. Like, we just had this episode about communication, and now we're talking about trust. And it's just like within 2 weeks, like we, like all of these things that we, that you, that could have possibly went through your mind, millions of thoughts by now in 2 weeks, could have kind of been put to the side had you just communicated really what it is. Like, what's the deal? Like, what's going on? Like, this. Like, you know, when you said this really, you know, rubbed me the wrong way. But it's hard to do that when you don't feel, like, it's hard to trust when you don't feel like you have a stable and secure environment, period, too. And you already said that you guys kind of have been on a little off and on and, you know, whatever. So I can understand the hesitation with trusting, because it's already rocky.
Yeah. The interesting thing that I noticed is, like, also what happened in that 2 weeks is, like, our schedule shifted a little bit. Like, I've also noticed, like, he's been really busy and involved, it seems like, in his work, you know, which is great. But it's just funny to me after you told me I talk about work a lot, which is fine, and I'm not like, but maybe it was good. Maybe that was a motivator, you know?
Like, and
you guys always talking about work. I mean, I don't know, but I guess Yeah, maybe this is. I do need to say something, but I don't know what I'm gonna say.
Though. You need to say something because it's not about the other person. You need to say something for you, because it's about you trusting yourself with your own feelings and owning them and releasing them and voicing them, because your feelings matter. Regardless of whether it's conventional or convenient or any of that. Like, at the end of the day, the fact of the matter is that when you speak about things and you are, it's for you. It's because that's what you need. It's a need that you need met. And you're doing a disservice to yourself by not doing it. And you're proving to yourself that you really can't trust you even more by not getting your need met when you know you got one. That's telling your body, I know that I have a need and I'm not going to meet my need. So to your body, you're sending a mixed emotion. Like, I can't trust you to meet my needs. You know?
Yeah.
Because you have some questions answered. You need some type of, you want. Like, you know, and it's okay to want clarity. It's okay to want to like, you know, that's okay. That's okay to have some questions answered. We're not saying you got to go get married, but it's just that clarity and the fact that you're deserving of it. You shouldn't have to sit in confusion for 2 weeks. You should feel that you owe, like, you know, that you are deserving of clarity and peace. And not to say that you don't feel like you are deserving of that, but what I'm just saying is that we say, I need to put myself first and I need to love myself, da 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 da. But you have needs that you're not allowing to be met. So technically, you're not even really doing that. You're saying that in your head, but you're not really doing that. That your actions aren't doing that.
Say actions speak louder than words.
And actions speak louder than words, and actions is like the wanting those needs met and voicing them. And then if the person that you're asking to meet those needs and is unable to meet those needs, then you can move on. And that goes to show the body and your whole mind experience that when my needs are not willing to be met, then I will leave. So now you're creating trust within your body once you continue to do that over and over and over again. And then eventually you'll just be trusting yourself and it will be second nature. But you have to push through those uncomfortable periods first, because your brain is used to going into survival mode.
Because I guess the key part in there is, like, you have to, when you're uncomfortable, you have to voice it, and then
you really need to think about what it is that your feelings. Our feelings are really here to communicate things with us. Like, they're there so we can address them. They're not there to just sit and stay stored there, because you don't address it, that doesn't mean that your body didn't feel it and it's still in there. And we wonder why we walk around feeling heavy and feeling all of these things, because we're not releasing what's going on. And that's why I believe in talk therapy. It's a way of releasing those stored up emotions. Whether you deal with them or not, you're addressing them, because your emotions are there to tell you something. So you can't ignore them. You have to acknowledge them. And once you acknowledge them and name them and give it what it is, they don't got no power. You feel me?
Yeah. And that's funny, because I remember we talked about this some time ago, and, same person. And I remember I couldn't figure out what it was, and you helped me to understand that, you know, I was feeling disappointment about the situation, because it was like, I wasn't angry, I wasn't this, but I was confused, because it's like, what is going on?
But you know, once you've named that feeling, don't you really feel like that it's a relief? Because now you understand, and you can name it, like, okay, that's what that was.
Yes, and then I can figure out how to deal with it, because obviously you deal with sadness and anger and happiness and disappointment,
right?
And you deal with all of those things, you know, personally different, you know,
right?
So you have yourself messed up if you're around here, you know, thinking you're angry but you really just sad,
Right.
You're handling it incorrectly.
Right. Because you're not really getting to the source.
Right.
And you can't heal what you don't reveal. I think Jay-Z said that or something, but it's really the truth. If you don't bring it up to the surface, you can't heal it. Like, you have to reveal it. You have to acknowledge it. You have to. Like, you just have to. And I feel like what we call that in, like, the therapy world or whatever is emotional regulation. I have a 2-year-old son. He can't communicate. So he has all these feelings in anger and sometimes, you know, frustration that he can't say. But right now, because I know his brain is developing, I'm practicing teaching him how to regulate his emotions. And we do that by naming them and allowing ourselves to feel them. And I say, when he, you know, has temper tantrums, and I say, Chance, I know you're mad at mommy because I took this toy away. It's okay that you're mad, but this is what we have to do right now, and you can play with your toy later. So I'm giving him the chance to name it. I'm angry. This feeling is anger, or this feeling is sad, or sometimes he comes up to me and he's like cries, and he'll just randomly cry. And I say to Chance, because I know what he wants and I know what he needs, because he like starts hugging me, Chance, you don't have to cry for me to hug you. Say, mommy, can I have a hug? Mommy, can I have a kiss? He has that's naming the need, you know, and teaching him to trust himself by expressing that. Whether he could talk or not, it's still the mind process. It's information processing, and he needs to get in the habit of doing that. They don't really teach us how to do that. And especially with, you know, Black Americans, and we have so much trauma already, we don't know how to regulate our emotions. And that is why a lot of us are adult people acting like little kids, because we never got that tool. So it's not, you are not any different than anybody else. Most of us are learning how to do this and figure it out. Or we wait till we get into so much trouble and we get a consequence, and then we avoid that emotion altogether, because usually the only emotion we have no problem expressing is anger. And anger usually gets us in trouble. So we go and we get a consequence, and then we address our angry behavior. Someone has to name it for us. But you know you better than anybody else. You know what you're feeling. And just because you deny it or don't acknowledge it, that doesn't mean that it's going to go away. So we want to, our goal is growth. We want to fix it. Like, you know, and it's not a one-time thing. It's a process. So I think that even more so for the listeners, that's definitely something that we are going to be exploring next year in 2020, as we continue with the remainder of the season. For the podcast, I want to explore different emotions and talk more about emotional regulation and, you know, why we have a hard time meeting those needs. And I don't even want to go all psychology all on you or whatever, but there are certain stages that we are in our childhood that we are supposed to meet with our caregivers, so we can learn to establish that kind of trust within our caregivers and with ourselves. And if we don't establish that and don't learn how to do it, we stay stuck at that stage. That doesn't mean you stop growing. You still turn into an adult, but you're still at a 2-year-old stage as far as emotionally. You understand?
Yes.
It doesn't mean it. You don't go to the next step till you graduate. It's levels. So if I have with the trust, because one of the first stages is trust versus mistrust. And that stage is during infancy, where your parent and your caregiver, you're establishing trusting other people. You're solely relying on your caregiver to clean you, feed you, love you, care for you, pick you up when you cry, all that kind of stuff. So if you have a caregiver who's not in a place to really do those kind of things and meet those basic needs, you'll never be able to trust anyone, because you never established that with the first person you were supposed to trust. So children who come from families in poverty, children who come from families that parents are on substance abuse, who don't have the capacity to to even meet all of those needs, they grow up missing something. And wonder why they function how they do is because they never got that first establishment of trust, period. So now they're untrusting. So now I can't even trust the people that love me. I didn't even get to the stage where I learned how to trust myself and be confident in myself and you know, learn to trust myself. That's why I say it's so important to visit your childhood and to visit where you come from, because a lot of reasoning why we are how we are has to do with those first initial relationships that we had. Not to blame our parents for everything, but at the end of the day, it is what it is. And that's why I tell you all the time, I take my parenting so seriously, because these years are so critical for where he's going to be in his adulthood. But I also believe that there are many, many good therapists, and I will be one of them. And I know that I will have a network of them. So whatever he don't get, we gonna get fixed. Feel me? So I'm not even worried, but I am still trying to parent consciously and to be mindful with my parenting, because like I said, like, yeah, and he's so passionate. So it's important for me to, you know, he just got all this burst of feelings going on. And sometimes he don't know what to do with all these balls of emotion. So he just fall out and start crying. And sometimes I feel like doing that and I'm 28. But I have to, and you know, sometimes it's not like this every time. I'm still a human being. Like, we could be in the middle of doing something, or I got some shit to do. Like, you know, like, it's not always convenient where you could stop. Sometimes I'd be like, listen, you got to suck it up. Let's go. Like, sometimes I have to do that. And it is what it is. Like, you know, like, it is what it is. But, you know, I just feel like if the majority of the time you know, you're whatever, them few little times, he'd be all right. Children need some sort of, I don't know if it's trauma, but they need some sort of obstacle, because they need to build resiliency. And when you know that you can go through things and overcome them, that will make them less likely to continue to do things. That's going to build his resiliency, saying that, okay, well, yeah, I may encounter problems. I may encounter da 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 da, or I may not be able to get this need met, but I'm going to teach myself to do it and still continue to go on and be successful. Like, if there were needs that I didn't get growing up, you know, affection and da da da, like, you know, affection and, I didn't have like a really like affectionate upbringing where, you know, we hugged a lot and kissed a lot and, you know, or even like, you know, like express love a lot or talked about our feelings at all, honestly. And so I seek that a lot in my adulthood, you know, and I believe that that's why words are so much were so important to me in my adulthood, because that's what I was lacking. And and like I said,
oh, that's so funny.
You know,
it's so funny that you say that, because yeah, it's funny you say that, because like, as I reflect, it's like, well, there was a lot of words in for me growing up. You know.
You guys did a lot of talking about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we did a lot of talking and about a lot of things, but I don't know. Did we talk about our feelings a lot? I mean, a little bit, but for me, it's like, we can talk about all that, and we can talk about it, but I didn't see any change.
Right.
I didn't feel any change. Right. So now, you know, in my adulthood, what I'm looking for, like, are you doing the things that, are you moving the same way as your body moving the same way your lips are moving?
So I think even all of us with this area where we're, you know, at adulthood, we see that a lot of things that our parents were pressuring us and telling us, they weren't upholding on their behalf. And so that also creates mistrust, because we not stupid, and even not now, because now by now we're all out of the household. But even as them times where we were in high school and adults, or, you know, we go back and visit, we're seeing that what you guys are saying wasn't aligned with y'all actions. So how can I really even listen to what you're saying, and you're not even keeping it 100 with me?
Exactly. And then it's like, it's not even, and it's not even on y'all. It's like, it's not even that you're not keeping it a buck on purpose.
Right.
You know, it's not, I'm not even saying.
It's just some stuff we just don't talk about. And I really, really, really want to break that narrative, especially with Black families. Like, that is my passion, you know, and just yeah, rebuilding. And it's going to start with talking about those hard things that we've been harboring and keep it for secret for years. That's where the reestablishing that trust is going to come, because I can't trust you if we can't discuss where I was hurt. I can't move forward and trust you, because that's once again denying what I feel and what my needs are. I can't do it.
Right now, I can't trust you if I can't talk about if I don't talk about where I was hurt.
Yeah.
Let me pause on that phrase right quick. So what about it's not okay? So let me ask you this, like, because for me immediately it's like, okay, it's not that I can't, like, let me, in my head, like, maybe it's the technicality on words. It's not that I can't, but it's like my comfort level, because right. Like, the thing is, I could blurt out, we can say anything,
right?
But it's the comfortability, and
it's the vulnerability, vulnerability. Let me look it up, because I have to say, like, I have to look up exactly what does being vulnerable mean. This is something that I've been studying for a couple years, like, because it's such a sensitive topic. And, like, you know, it's, I don't really know what that vulnerability. It says the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. Now, vulnerability is definitely the word we need to be using, because I believe that, because you have to, and it's so hard to be vulnerable in a place that's like, you don't know, but there are no guarantees in life, because a person could say, oh yeah, you know, you could trust me, you could tell me anything, da, 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 and then they may react different after you release some stuff that you got to say, like, you know, but it, yeah. I believe that the goal that you should always keep the focus on yourself, because when the focus is on the other person, you put the outcome and the power in another person's hands versus yours. Right. You can't change anybody else. You can't control anybody, but you can very much be that way for yourself. You know, only you can change you. Only you can control, you know. And I feel like no, that once you become trusting of yourself and can be vulnerable with yourself, it will set the tone for all your other relationships. Because you know, no matter what the outcome may be, I'm still honoring what I feel and what I need, no matter what. We are human beings. We have needs that need to be met. Don't ever let nobody think that you don't. Like, we have needs that need to be met. Emotional needs as well. Not just our physical needs. We, you know, it's okay to have money, and it's okay to have a job, and it's okay to da-da-da-da. But no, our emotional needs are just as important. That's why our country and our world is running around and people are going crazy, because of the fact that they are not getting their needs met emotionally. And they don't know how to ask. And they probably don't even know what need, because they don't even know how to regulate emotions. So it's just a ongoing thing. It's so many different factors. So many different factors to your needs not being met. I know for myself, I didn't even know what I needed. Like, it was a point where I would be feeling things and all I did was just shut down. If it was a feeling that wasn't, like, you know, good feelings, like joy, happiness, and then I would just shut it down. Like,
no, I'm laughing because like, I can relate to that. Like
for real, I'm like, oh nah, good vibes only, right? Positive vibes only, good vibes only. I can only think good thoughts. Let me shut this down. Nope.
The thing is like, you need, and it's so annoying and stupid, but true. It's like, you need those negative influences to influence your positive experience, because like, what is a positive experience without a negative?
Right. You need it. It's all, at the end of the day, it's information. information.
I'm looking for that shit. You know?
Right. But if it comes, you welcome it, and you say, and you kind of talk to it. What is this trying to? What are you bringing out of me? What is this trying to show me? Like, you know, you got to think about it like that. So, yeah. And I also wanted to, like, you know, y'all know I talk about a lot, but I got to bring this in a little bit. Like, lately, people have been contacting me, not necessarily contacting me, but, you know, in conversation, when I talk to people, they bring up the fact that, that I have a relationship with God and that I go to church. And they say a lot, like, you know, church people can't be trusted, and, you know, they're hypocrites and all of this stuff. But that's what a lot of people have experienced. They call it church hurt. And this is something new that I've never heard. But being now in the kind of this, you know, being in this, like, I hear people say it a lot, and, you know, people are leaving, or they're not leaving, but they're not, they still want God, but they don't want God in the church environment. They don't want God with the church people. They want to watch online, listen, and stuff like that. And I just feel that that's so disheartening, that people don't want to go to God's house because the people in God's house are so bad and they don't trust them. And I just feel like that's a really big reason why I did want to do this podcast, because I felt like if people didn't feel accepted at the church talking about God, I wanted to make a space for anyone to be able to explore and talk about God here. You understand? Because I'm not, yes. I don't come from a church background. So I don't know the church etiquette. And anyone who's listening, correct me if I'm wrong. So there are certain things that I just don't know. And so to me, all I know is God loves everybody, no matter what. I don't know the technicalities of it. And I know that I'm not even worried about that. I'm worried about God and his love and seeking him and knowing him. That's it. All the technicalities will come later on, or maybe they won't. I don't know what my journey is about. However, what I do know is that I believe, we talked about this a lot. I believe that this is why I have been in situations that I've been in, and why I, you know, have the people in my life that are so important to me. You know, you're my very best friend. Like, you know, like, you're a gay man, and according to the people, God is not supposed to love you because you're in sin, but we are born in sin. Being gay is no different than what, I'm not married, I have sex. Like, you understand? Like, it's what's going on. Like, it's no sin is greater than any other. Like, you know, and at the end of the day, I don't even think about that, because I can't think about that. That's just not where I am right now. And I just wanted to say that, though, and I wanted to really, like, you know, we're not going to really talk about it too much today, but it's definitely something that I want to talk about, like, moving forward.
Yeah, I've never heard of this before. What did you say? Church hurt?
Yeah, like, people, they go to church, they're looking for, you know, for peace and love, and, you know, they go, they get judged. You know, they ask where you come from, they look at you differently, like, you know, like, so for an
experience. No, I mean, I understand the behavior, and you know, I can imagine, I'm not sure if I've experienced it, but I can imagine, but I didn't know that it had a name.
Right, and I didn't know either. So, for example, I experienced it, but I didn't know that's what it was, and I was at a church earlier this year, and I went to, you know, a different church, and I had a really good experience, and I brought that back to, you know, the church that I was at, and, you know, she kind of said something to me along the lines as, you know, you don't need to be going to, like, other churches, and da 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 da, and, you know, it automatically just put me in the mind where I thought, when I found God and when I invited him into my life, that I would be free. This feels like bondage by you trying to dictate where I can and cannot go to seek him. You understand? So yeah. That was a red flag for me. And I honestly, the trust was broken, and I honestly stopped going to that church for that reason. And I never recovered from that, because I felt like,
that one,
yeah. because that once that saying, that's that what that meant to me is that if I went through this process, I got baptized, I was you know, I had the whole, I was gifted the Holy Spirit, da 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 da, you're telling me that I can't trust myself. Because if I was guided to go somewhere by my Holy Spirit and you telling me that that's wrong, you know, you don't know. That's why I always say your relationship with God is yours. Other people are there to help you, but your relationship with God is yours. Only you and Him know what is going on. Only you and Him know what He tells you and what y'all share. Like, that's y'all's. I can't say God ain't tell you that. You're not supposed to be doing that, because He could have, in fact, told me that. That's not your call to dictate. And I feel like that is where there is a line of mistrust, because you want to help people, but then y'all sometimes, nah, look at me, y'all. People can overstep boundaries and push people away. And the goal is to get people to love God, not to run from Him, because they think they're not good enough or not worthy, and they already are not feeling good. That's why they come in to find them. So I just feel like, you know, creating that trust, not creating, but even just discussing that, that's going to be a whole nother podcast as I, you know, kind of explore that more. Maybe I'm going to have, like, you know, someone else who grew up in a church come and, like, you know, be able to explain, like, about that, what that mistrust is with, you know, non-believers or people who are trying to get to know God with people who are, you know, who grew up in church, because it's a different outlook.
It really is. It's so...
It's like a different outlook. And when I go into church, like, that's why I can look, because I didn't grow up like that, I can look at everybody and I can see God in them and see and give God's love, because I don't have that background where it's like, oh, nope, this is wrong. I don't have that judgment type of thing, you know?
Right, yeah.
And I don't ever want to get that. And I believe that that is my gift, to be able to help the people who those people can't help.
I like that. That's good. I never thought about this like that.
And it's just so many. It's so many different layers to trust.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to explore this.
So you guys, moving forward, what to expect for 2020? You definitely will be hearing from me. These episodes that we are releasing now before the end of the year is kind of like a little holiday gift, or like a pre, you know, to see like what is to be expected of next year. But, you know, I know like it's not all, you know, logoed up and da 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 how it was, you know, that stuff is gonna come. But I definitely have some good things in store, and some really, 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 really good topics that I really, really, really want to talk about. And I'm just so excited to be back. I'm so excited that you guys are listening. I'm so excited that you guys kept hitting me up over the years, telling me to get back into podcasting. I had to take care of myself and meet my own needs and get myself together before I could be out here serving. And that's what I did. And now I'm back. So, you know, I just want to thank y'all for being loyal and just even believing in me. And Ricky, I love you so, so much. You are my best friend. Anything that I, any idea, y'all, I call Ricky with the craziest stuff, and Ricky be like, all right, well, okay, well, listen, we could do it. And Ricky, it lives in Memphis, Tennessee, and, you know, we still make it work, and, you know, and I just love him, and I appreciate him so much, because he supports me so much with my dreams and my vision, and, you know, and his gifts that he brings, you know, my best friend will be there with me. So, get used to seeing him. And, yeah. So, I just wanted to thank you guys. I want to, you know, wish you a happy new year. I want to remind you guys to go into the new year and be gentle with yourself. And just whatever happened in 2019, just leave it in 2019. Whatever you didn't get to do, whatever you didn't get to accomplish, it's okay. You made it. You're alive. You're breathing. You well. And just celebrate the small things. And celebrate the small successes. And just love yourself and be gentle with yourself. So I just want to send you guys love and light and end it on that. And Happy New Year. And you guys will hear from me coming in 2020.
Happy New Year.
All righty.